Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Oh, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 15 for Slamfire Radio for the week of July 25th, the IPSC Nationals edition. I'm one of your hosts, Trevor the Farlatte.
I'm Owen Swelling.
And I'm Matthew McClatchy, and joining us this week we have Dave Harris, once again, the man who will not shut up. He just keeps talking and talking, and he won't even say, he won't even let us get a word in edgewise, really. I mean, come on, man. Could you at least say hello?
That's why.
Seriously, speak up, would you?
That's why we have him gagged and hogtied in the corner.
That's right. He's the New Brunswick random guy. We've got Ontario random guy. Now we've got New Brunswick random guy.
Let the man say hello.
Hey.
A man of many words, hey. Like I said.
He takes hello and shortens it.
Hello is too, yeah, hello is too many.
Too many syllables.
Very good. So, guys, what's going on?
Well, we're just kind of crashing here at Trevor's house. We're going to be shooting the pre-match tomorrow of the 2013 IPSC Nationals. So, Owen and David came up because they're shooting the pre-match with us. Well, actually, by us, I mean not Trevor because he's going to Halifax tomorrow.
Yeah, I figure, you know, the Canadian Nationals are in my backyard. I might as well take a road trip to Halifax.
Why not?
Why really, wouldn't
you
really?
About it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Montreal and Toronto. I might as well go to Halifax next, then Vancouver.
Sure.
Why not?
It's all good.
It's all good. There's guns down there. Yeah, so you guys are here. That's cool. We're let me bring you guys up to speed on a little bit on what's been happening. Work.
Work, yeah.
Man, Salsh and the core group of volunteers have been going nonstop. It almost, for them, I'm sure it feels like 24/7. We're down to, there's a countdown clock on the 2013 IPSC Nationals website, and we're down to 1 day and 3 hours and something ridiculous like that in 13 seconds at the time of this recording. I was on the range today, and I don't recognize it. It's just amazing when you see what they've done back there. It's a culmination of well over a year's worth of work planning, and you guys are going to be really impressed when you step on that range tomorrow. Everything from, you know, the $9,000 chain link fence rolling gate at the front, all kinds of new signs.
Do you get to shoot through that, or is that part of the stage, or how's that go?
No.
No.
$27,000 in range construction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Three new bays, a 500-meter rifle berm now.
I can't shoot that far with my pistol.
Yeah, you can.
I can.
Try and hard enough.
500.
So anyway, yeah, we're going to get together. You guys are going to go tomorrow shoot the pre-match. I'll be shooting the regular match in a couple of days.
Because you're on some sort of special team or something.
Yeah, I'm going there on a short bus. Let's put it that way. I get a handicapped parking, and not because of my mental abilities either. I'm talking physically. I'm still...
Still hurting?
Yeah, I threw my back out. And
Why don't you just throw it back in?
I'd like to. I'm on steroids and ice.
I was wondering why you're a little angrier this afternoon.
It's true. Actually, they told me it would make me cranky, and she was right. Yeah, the pharmacist warned me, so I warned my wife. It's been hell, frankly. Anyway, let's point at David awkwardly.
Yeah, awkwardly. What we did with guns. This is what we normally do at the beginning of the show.
I was trying to bring us there, and then you were pointing at him.
I was going to...
He's first. The show notes?
No, he's... Oh, my God.
I know. We always let the host go first.
The host?
And the guest go first.
Yeah.
Generally, the lead host says, hey, Dave, you know... What
and you weren't, guns? So that's why I was trying to point
here while
you
were pointing there. Slow down.
Whoa.
So, Dave, why don't you tell us what you do this week in guns?
Because as soon as he tells us... Then we won't have to do our parts. That's right. Why you got him to go first. Excellent. I like it.
Not because he's the guest, but you know he talks a lot. If he would just hurry up and get on with it already. You know.
Well, thanks, guys.
It's a pleasure to be back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it sure is. Always entertaining.
I can always tell when a person's lying.
Yeah. Yeah, he says the same thing to his proctologist.
I'm glad to be back.
Guns this week, what'd
Guns
you do?
Guns this week. We spent a little time at the range, an afternoon. Matt come down along with Curtis and Owen and I.
I heard that while I was laid on my living room floor with an ice pack on my lower spine, you guys were running around playing.
We were feeling for you.
I bet you were.
I wasn't. The other guys were, but yeah. Not me.
You were like, ha ha ha, he's not here, this is fun.
It was fun, let me tell you.
Shut it. Go ahead, dude.
Got a chance to change out the trigger on my AR. I've got that.
Tell us about your AR. Your AR finally came in.
Yes,
it did. Last time you were on the show, you had ordered it.
Yes.
This is the first time I'm hearing all the details, though, so... Mm. Oh, wait, they're all from Trevor.
Great piece of hardware. Needed a little work. Found out that somebody had done some trigger work.
I was going to say, I heard it was worked on.
When you got it hot, it was a little more than the Canadian law will allow. a trigger group was necessary, I guess, for safety reasons.
You talk to this guy?
Not yet.
No.
He hasn't yet received a rating. He will.
Very good. Yeah.
Anyway, we got to run the guns a bit, worked on some fundamentals, reloads.
What do you got on it?
Lucid aim point.
He's got my Lucid.
Oh, he's got your Lucid. Okay.
HD. Yeah, worked very well.
Awesome. Got any backups on there too? Or?
Nothing.
No,
yet.
Just the Lucid.
Yet to be ordered.
Cool.
Yeah.
14 and a half?
It is. Yeah. NEA. Dry as a bone. Not a stitch of oil or grease in the gun.
Oh, my God.
Very nasty. Has yet to be oiled.
Ran all day, though.
It ran great.
Didn't malfunction at all, as far as I saw.
Why'd you take it out and run it dry?
Just to try.
Wear off the high spots.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brilliant.
It certainly did.
I'm sure it did. It's shiny inside now.
One way to break in a gun, I guess. Emphasis on break.
It worked.
It worked well.
Cool.
Awesome. What about you, Matthew?
I basically did the same thing, except my AR had oil in it. Curtis and, Jewel and I spent the week at Curtis and Leisha's, which is pretty close to Owen's. And so we took the opportunity to just head into Woodstock, which is only about half hour away, and met Owen and David, went to the range. We did some, like David said, just some fundamental stuff with the rifles, did a little bit of pistol stuff, mostly whenever I ran out of ammo with the rifle, little stuff like that. I don't know what else to say about it, except that it was a lot of fun, and you really missed out. You should have been there, man.
And you suck, and we hate you.
That's right.
Sure, it was a good time. How many rounds did you go through?
I think David went through 250?
220.
220. And I think the rest of us were struggling to keep up with him, but we all managed to
get him. Knew our I want to break it in syndrome, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
It was fun. We standing, just... Like I said, fundamentals, reloads, kneeling, prone.
Different positions.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Set up some barriers and stuff and just did some, shooting around barriers, under barriers and over barriers and, just stuff like that. Typical, range stuff. Bipods and 200 meters kind of thing.
Sitting on a bench and shooting a paper target.
That's
what we do, yeah.
Yeah. There was some running and some gunning and it was
perfect.
Fun. Perfect. So I guess that brings us to Owen.
Yeah, same thing.
McPhee!
We were all there.
Austin McPhee, that's his name. Remember last week?
Wow. No, I don't.
Remember I was saying, there? Telling
oh, we're
the story?
Play that game?
Remember I was telling the story about how I couldn't remember his name?
Yes.
Austin McPhee. That's who it was. The guy on the side of the road met him there anyway.
Changing his wife's tire.
Yeah.
That's what you call him.
That's it. I didn't get shot over it.
Must have been legit. I forgot to mention last week as well that I was on the Ovaleste Quebec. Not only did I go shoot with them, I actually recorded episode 19 with them, and I did it in French.
So if you want to hear Trevor butcher yet another of Canada's national languages, head over to Radio Ovaleste Quebec. And have a listen.
Funny, because it's true. Don't choke on that, Dr. Pepper, by the way.
Oh, I probably will.
The can, yes, you will. That was awful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The
French is a little bit rusty, or what
it's even worse when you... It's one thing to speak it. It's another thing to hear yourself recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably did a lot better than I would do, though.
It's true, but that doesn't mean I did well.
Did I mention last week that I was on with Rod Giltaka?
Yes, you did.
Okay, that episode actually did come out. It is now on YouTube.
We have an email about it,
actually.
Did you
not have to delete it?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we got an email tonight about it. Somebody else listened to it. I listened to it. I was very impressed.
I haven't even listened to it yet. I've been busy, but I was on it, I guess. So
yeah, and you only interrupted him like 13 times.
13 times. That sounds about right.
Wasn't bad. No, he did a fantastic job with the edits. He would cut in. Well, just go watch it.
Yeah, that's probably just the best. We don't need to talk about it. I just wanted to make sure our listeners headed over to his channel, which is Civil Advantage. So youtube.com/Civil Advantage.
And subscribe to it.
Yeah, check him out. We're going to have him on the show. He's an interesting guy. Hmm. We're going to have him on, talk to him sometime whenever things slow down around here a little bit.
They never slow down.
They really don't. I think we interrupted Owen. So let's get back to...
By we, you mean you.
It was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do with guns this week?
He was done, actually.
He was done, yeah. Let's move on. Yeah.
Sorry, what?
I said I didn't have anything more to say.
That's all I have to say about that. All
right, Forrest.
I just kept running and running.
We's like peas and carrots and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And Trevor, what did you do with guns this week? Besides national stuff, chronoing and cleaning your guns and dry fire. What else did you do?
Where's my freaking knife? I made a road trip down to see you guys. Well, not see you guys.
That's right, you did. Yeah. You went down to...
Wicked Cool Graphics.
Yes, Wicked Cool Graphics. They did a bunch of stickers and buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
They're not flawless.
That's the day you thought I was mad at you. That was fun.
That was funny, too. We really messed with
you. You guys are a bunch of jerks.
I went to Florenceville, which was 10 minutes away from where Matthew was staying. And... he gave me some slack on Facebook, joking around, saying, why didn't you let me know you were coming? I said, I sent you a text an hour ago. And then Owen pipes in and says, well, why didn't you let me know you were coming? Because I'm mad at you. And that went on for 2 hours. So Wicked Cool Graphics, if you're in Atlantic Canada, check them out. If you need anything, some graphic design work or posters, vinyl lettering, T-shirts, stickers, whatever you want, they can do it. And... I went down there to get some materials for the Nationals, some pewter pins and some stickers, and there was a screw up in the order, and
they fixed it right on the spot.
Right on the spot. They made it right. They took care of us. So a huge shout out to them, and, look them up. We're going to be dealing with them from now on for our t-shirts and our stickers. So, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Other than that, we did some chronograph work, and I'm starting to wonder, I don't know what's going on with my chronograph because, we were all of our numbers were consistent, I guess. My formula gives me 172. But then today, the same batch of ammo was giving me a power factor of 188. And the weather was the same, maybe muggier. Maybe it was warmer today than last time.
Shouldn't speed anything up, though. Like, no, not that significant.
Not that significant. It's not like an ammo can in the sun for 3 hours, right?
Or in a house fire, say.
Yeah, Jason. but we noticed something interesting. Cleaning a barrel increases muzzle velocity, not decreases.
Interesting.
Yeah, you would think that the buildup in the barrel would cause pressure.
You would think that.
With, you know, the whole don't shoot lead in polygonal because it builds up and causes pressure spikes. And
then again, if you clean something like a countertop, you could slide stuff across it faster. So maybe it's a reduction of friction. I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
That's true, neither am I. But I do know that we had Ron DeGroot's ammo was not making power factor in his gun. It's a Glock 35. It does not have a lot of time on it. It's got enough, but maybe it has more than we thought. Anyway, his ammo would not make power factor in his gun. When we put Harold's Gen 4, brand new Glock 35 barrel in it, made power factor. We put his ammo in my gun, it made power factor. When we put his ammo in Harold's Barstow barrel, it made power factor.
Just not in his own.
Just not in his own barrel.
Weird. Maybe he got an oversized barrel or something.
I don't know. My ammo was just making 172, and when we put it in other people's barrels, your Glock barrels or Barstow barrels, it went up as well. So, you know, there is a myth out there that you can't outshoot a Glock barrel. That's malarkey.
You can outshoot any barrel.
That's right.
Yeah. Metal on metal is going to wear eventually.
Yep. And
you mean shoot out a barrel?
Shoot out a barrel, wear out a barrel, whatever, you know, wear it on the rifle.
Did we say outshoot?
He said outshoot.
Oh, I can outshoot the barrel because it just sits there. Yeah. Every time I win.
I draw faster than the barrel.
Yep.
You know, more accurate than the barrel. So anyway, jerk. So that was interesting. And it's kind of disappointing because And like I said, unless there's more time on that gun than we thought, we were, his ammo should have been making power factor, so he had to take that barrel out and borrow another barrel from Harold just to be sure. So, yeah, I mean, I have a sheet full of notes of all the different combinations. Harold's barrel, Harold's ammo, Harold's barrel, Ron's ammo, Trevor's barrel. Just we did an hour of chronograph work.
Wow.
Yeah, and the common denominator, the one variable that remained in question was that barrel. Wasn't the ammo, because we tested the ammo in multiple barrels, and the ammo made power factor in everybody else's barrel but his own. So what's that tell you? So it was interesting.
Something wrong with the barrel.
I thought I'd share because that was a unique experience for me.
Very cool.
Other than that, just got the guns ready. I cleaned up my Glock 17 for Mark Giroux because he bought a CZ Shadow that's never been right from the get-go.
Right.
Still somewhere between Montreal and the new CZ Warranty Center, which I think is Wolverine or Wanstall, somebody in BC anyway. And
speaking of warranty, my Spark.
Wow.
I know, eh? You think Trevor's good at squirrels, but the warranty is what hit it off there for me. I sent my Spark away last week.
He doesn't know what hold that
a little more because you weren't home.
Yeah, I wasn't home last week. It was on my way down.
That's right.
It would have been Friday.
Yep.
On my way down, a week ago, just over a week ago, I sent my Spark to Vortex because the dot would dim or brighten depending, when I shot it. The recoil was changing the setting, and every now and then it would just shut off while I was shooting. So I was like, this is not good. So sent it off for warranty work. So I contact Vortex.com, so US, and they said, well, you have to send it to the Canadian one. And what they do is they will ship it to us. We'll fix it, and we'll ship it back to them, and they'll ship it to you. That way, you don't have to worry about the import and export stuff, permits and brokerage and all that stuff. We take care of that for you. I'm like, well, it's a long way around, but I'll do that because that's your policy, and I don't have to pay anything extra for it. So I ship it to the Canadian one, and I'm, fully expecting to wait months for this thing to come back. Yeah. Well, I've got it today. It came last week while I was on vacation. It didn't even make it to the U.S. Canada, they read my notes in it, and they just replaced on it and just sent me back a new one.
So, as it should be.
Oh, yeah. So less than a week turnaround. Because, it was less than a week from when I sent it to when I got it back.
That's what we hear about with Vortex. We hear about this no BS lifetime warranty.
It is literally no BS. It is a fantastic warranty. It just, awesome. I'm stoked. So I get to put my Vortex back on my AR.
Cool.
So I can continue to shoot 6 minutes of angle with it.
Not because of the Vortex.
No, yeah. Not the Vortex's fault, let me tell you.
Did you ever drop 3x9 on that yet?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Nothing changes.
All right.
Yeah.
I still think it's the barrel, but...
It could be.
Yeah.
It very well could be.
You done with your squirrel?
I'm done with my squirrel.
Back in the bag?
We can go... Yeah, you want to go to... No, we're good.
I want to talk about my Glock 17 for a minute.
Yeah.
I took it to Utah, and I got the guys at Crusader Weaponry to put the permanent slipstream treatment on it. This was back in September, and they said don't clean it, and I did not clean it until last week. And who knows how many rounds went through it.
Is it muddy?
It was mud. The day that you were trying it at the range was the first time I did anything to it since Utah.
And there's the phone that we were expecting this phone call. All right, well, Trevor's finally off the phone again, so why don't you continue on where he left off, Trevor? Do you remember?
National stuff. So speaking of
which, we were talking about the Glock 17.
Yeah, the phone call is national stuff. Try to keep up.
Oh, wow. Who are you?
So last week when we had Kingston on the phone,
yes.
He was interrupted, and I said that was Salsh calling him.
It was.
Yeah, because they were working on a grant to get money for the Nationals, and they scored $25,000.
Very nice.
Yeah, so.
Like that's more important than our podcast. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. It's a quarter of our budget, right?
Let's see.
Wait.
No, our budget is a quarter.
Yeah, that's right. So, the Glock 17, when you tested it out that time, we did talk about that on the show. All I did that day was I opened it up and I dumped some more slipstream into it.
Right.
The oil. And so last week I cleaned it. And the whole time it's been shot with the aftermarket tungsten guide rod in it.
Right.
It came with a guide rod. They did a recall on the guide rods. I had barely shot it anyway and never had a malfunction with the factory guide rod that they recalled. They sent me the replacement, which I didn't really put in the gun. I put it in the gun because I gave you, David, my tungsten one to try. So that new replacement factory guide rod might have 100 rounds in it. Through it, maybe, right? and cleaned the gun, slipstreamed it, put it back together with the factory guide rod because it's going to the match, so it's got to be factory.
Yep.
Racking this thing. Like I had Tommy's Glock 19 when I was down there, and I couldn't believe how smooth this Glock 19 was. And I mean, same thing. It's well shot in. It's been slipstreamed, and it was amazing. And that's what mine feels like now. And I got made fun of on Facebook because I said this thing actually feels as smooth as a
1911
polished 1911 now.
Yeah.
And people are like, malarkey, right? Sure it does. But no, really, honest. That Glock
Norinco 1911.
No. that Glock 17 now. Racking and moving the slide is better than on my Glock 35.
Very nice.
And that's with an unbroken in factory guide rod. So I was really impressed. So Mark has that, and him and his son are each going to run a Glock 17 for the Nationals. And then I cleaned my Glock 35 and dropped in a fresh spring kit, just to be sure. Next year I'll be done with Zev spring kits. I haven't had a failure this year, but...
you're just waiting.
Harold's had one or two trigger springs fail. I've had... 2 and 3 years fail, and Jason had one fail, so...
Yeah, that one got caught on video, actually.
That's right, yeah. So,
what do you mean when you say they fail?
They break. They actually break, and then your trigger won't reset. So, they're nice and light, but the durability is not there, right? Lone Wolf trigger spring and a Lone Wolf connector, that's the way to go. Well, I say that. I haven't run them long enough to see if they're going to break, but they sure feel good. And I know that Zev's do, so... You know... Did I miss something there?
No, you're good.
That's the beauty of podcasting all in the same room, right? You can actually see
each other laughing.
Silly look on the man's face. Yeah.
When he says it feels good.
Well, I was thinking that, this is the way to go. Well, maybe I haven't tried it yet, but it might definitely be, this is what you should try right away. But then in a couple of years, I'll tell you, no, I was bad too.
No, that's not exactly how it went, but right now, the Lone Wolf spring and connector makes a really nice trigger pull.
Yeah.
I may as well try the Lone Wolf and see if they're going to be more durable because I know for a fact the Zev aren't, right?
Yeah, so, definitely. I'm just laughing at you saying that's the way to go right there. No.
For now. Until. We'll see.
Until. I'll let you know. Tune in.
Yeah. Let's put a plug in for t-shirts. We haven't had any t-shirt orders lately. Let me update the listeners. There's a pile of t-shirts sitting in my room. Some of you have your names on them. Some of you don't. I got to go through, figure out whose is here, whose is not here, contact you, give you a shipping quote, get the money from you, and ship it to you. And that will all happen after the Nationals, after I go check out the Archery Nationals, and probably after I get back from my vacation, my third one this year in Vancouver.
Yeah, why not, really?
You know?
Do I have to wait till after Nationals?
No, just go choke on it. It's in there right now.
Choke on it.
So the t-shirts are here for, like, Rob's is here, and Jesse's is here, and... Well, Mo and some of those guys will get them this weekend. But anyway, please be patient with me, guys. It's a super, uber busy time. We'll get them out as soon as we can.
Keep bugging him.
Yeah, keep bugging him. No, that's the better way to do it.
The rest of us will be okay with that.
Nobody's bugging, actually, and I appreciate that. Because if you bug me, I'll just delete your email.
There are more t-shirts available.
Yes.
So if you want a t-shirt.
Send an EMT. And I'm actually going to change up the email address here. You can order your t-shirt through our Slamfire email address. We're just kind of looking at Matthew taking a knife to his Dr. Pepper can. Sorry.
What?
Slightly
it's fun.
Distracting.
Leave me alone.
All right. So order your t-shirt through the Facebook page or through our Slamfire Radio email address. And you
which is?
Slamfireradio@gmail.com.
Very good.
I know, right?
Where'd you pull that out of? Oh,
So money. Send an EMT for $20. To trevorforalot@gmail.com.
That's easy to remember. Very good. Mm-hmm. If you send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com, I'm going to deposit it and not tell Trevor. So send it to trevorforalot@gmail.com. Definitely. So are we moving on to the main topic?
I think it's
then?
Time for the main topic.
Which is?
Stage breakdown. We received a request a couple of months back about... doing a show on how we would break down a stage.
So let me tell you right now to pause the show.
No, let me finish my thought.
Oh,
at the time, what the person requested was that we break down a classifier because classifiers are standard. And we could say next week's show, we're going to break down classifier CLC-65 because everybody can go find CLC-65. Well,
isn't that a water bomber?
We're not going to do that. We're actually, because it's timely and the Nationals are happening in a couple of days, we're going to break down stages from the Nationals. So what I actually did in succeeding to interrupt Matthew was I'll tell you to go to www.2013ipsitcanadiannationals.com, and on the front page you'll find a link called Stages, and you can go there and follow along with us as we break down the following three stages. We're going to start with the stage number 4, which is First Blood, then stage number 13, which is Red Dawn.
Wolverines!
Exactly. And then another stage number 15, The Fugitive. So one designed by me, one designed by Salz, and one designed by Chris. Salz Noel being the match director, and Chris Kingston being a twisted individual. So,
and you all know Trevor.
Yeah. So, I'll throw around a term that I picked up recently on Matt Burkett's podcast, Practical Shooting Radio, called pre-stage routine. And he describes with one of his listeners what he does when he approaches a stage.
Okay, cool.
Right up till the "Are you ready?" standby commits.
Right.
So, we can talk about what our pre-stage routines are.
Sure. And can I go first?
Apply them to that.
So my pre-stage routine is I walk up to the thing and get ready to shoot. I don't really have one. I don't really analyze the stages very much. Not because I'm that good, because I'm not. More because I like to approach each stage as if it was kind of something new and spontaneous anyway. I try not to game stuff too much, and it's not nothing wrong with gaming it. I'm just not the same type of competitor that Trevor is. But
no, you're actually a couple of steps ahead. You do have a pre-stage routine.
Okay.
You just never thought stop long enough to actually figure out what it is.
Oh.
But you do approach every stage the same way, and you do certain things when you arrive at a stage. Well, you've never actually stopped to slow down to
understand that what I'm consciously. Okay, gotcha. You know? All right.
Gaming a stage comes a couple of steps in. The pre-stage routine is walking up, put down your bag, and then what do you do next? Not figuring out where you're going to stand.
Right.
Not figuring out where you're going to make your mag changes. Pre-stage routine is even well before that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, yeah, you have one. You just never bothered to actually consciously...
Understand that I have one. Which right. is, well, I guess, what mine would be then, is I walk up and I set my ammo cam down and I kind of step back and watch everybody else walk through the stage. And
that's it. That's part of your pre-stage routine.
Yeah.
You're kind of scoping out what the other guys are doing and how they're going to proceed through it, right? I step up to the stage, I put my stuff down, and then I immediately go up to the stage description.
Yep.
And we know that the drawing's not going to match, but the stage description is going to give us information, and there's going to be stuff there that the RO who's going to read it is going to forget, or is going to elaborate on, or is going to throw stuff in that's not even there. So I'm reading it for myself first, seeing if I have any questions that pop up, and then I'm counting my targets. It says that it's got stage number, the name, designer, doesn't matter. Minimum rounds, I've got to take note of that, and I've got to take note of targets. So in stage number 4, for example, it says 12 rounds, 5 IPSC targets, 2 plates, flip-ups, and 2 IPSC targets.
So really it's 7, 8, there's actually 9 targets then.
So, right here there's a mistake already.
Yeah, you're right.
And the mistake is it says 2 IPSC targets. What should that actually say? Looking at the drawing.
5?
No, it should say 2 penalty targets.
Oh, it should say 2 penalty. Right. Gotcha.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5. Your 5.
Okay, yeah.
5 IPSC targets.
2 plates and 2 penalties.
It says 2 plate flip-ups. There. And then it says 2 plate slash flip-ups. It shouldn't say that. It just should say flip-ups because that's what they are.
Yeah.
2 flip-ups, plate 1, plate 2. And then 2 IPSC targets.
Which should be 2 penalties.
Which should say there are 2 penalties there,
yeah.
Right? So this is part of the pre-stage routine. We've already pointed out a mistake.
Yeah.
In something that's been submitted to IPSC World for approval.
And right.
We just found a mistake in it.
Just like that.
Just like that. So.
Cool.
Next.
Quick. Serge the phone.
Quick. Call Serge.
No.
He needs more stress in his life.
That's right. So Then,
so who's the stage designer on this one?
That was me.
Oh, it's Trevor Furlot.
Yeah.
Oh, just curious.
And trust me, this is not the way it's been changed several times. Since
I'm teasing, man. It's okay.
and worse than that yet, the measurements that I gave them, it won't fit inside the bay. So what you see in the stage, guys, is called First Blood, and you start off lying inside a jail cell on a cot. Your gun is unloaded. The gun is unloaded inside a briefcase. All ammo for the stage is inside the briefcase. So you're laying on your back, and the start position is very specific. It says lying flat on cell bed with hands on solar plexus, fingers interlaced. Gun unloaded inside a briefcase. All ammo for stage is in the briefcase. So you get up, you open up the cell door, you retrieve your firearm from inside the briefcase, you load it, and then you're inside an office. There are two targets and two penalty targets.
Let's back up, because you were talking about pre-stage routine, and we kind of skipped ahead here, didn't we?
Well, now we're still part of the pre-stage
routine. Okay, right. You're going through in your head now what you're going to do by looking at the sheet of paper.
Well, actually, no, you're right. We are going to back up. We read how many targets we have,
right?
And we read the round count. Now we're actually going to physically go out there and count the targets.
Ah, good point. Because, again, there could be a mistake.
That's right. Yeah. So the stage description says 5 IPSC targets.
Now
we're going to go look for them.
Now go find them.
All right. So we see them. They're on the stage.
Yeah.
All right.
Because sometimes, and let me tell you, this has happened to me before, where it says, you know, 5 targets, and I go out, and I just completely forget that it said 5 targets, and I see 4 targets. Yep. Well, I assume there's 4.
Happened to me at the...
I didn't realize there was one behind there, that
there's
barrel
a hidden target. There's a hidden target behind a barricade or something.
So
you do your walkthrough perfectly 6 times.
Yep. And then...
walking past it every time.
Every time.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. So that's why this is now part of
the
routine.
You
read how many there are, then go find them all.
Yep. And once you found them and everything that matches up and the numbers add up and the math is there, well, now you can start, walkthrough time.
Yeah.
Walkthrough time is not pre-stage routine. It's walkthrough time. Now you can start getting into how you're going to shoot it.
Right.
So before we do that, you guys have anything to add to pre-stage routine?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much straightforward. I mean, those are the basics. You want to make sure you know how many rounds you're going to need, how many targets there are, and what your start position is going to be. Mm-hmm. Other than that, then you just start, like you said, start doing your walkthrough.
Yeah.
How are you going to shoot it?
So we know what our start position is, the stage procedure on audible signal engaged targets from within the designated area. Straightforward. So RO notes, see photo of start position. So because now, as we talked about, there are gamers. You know, can I put one foot on the ground?
Yeah.
Can I lay on my side? Right? Yep. No. It says.
And these are people who, and I know we disparage gamers from time to time, but let's be truthful here. This is a game, mm-hmm. and people want to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's prestige on the line here, and there's pride, and people want to win. So gaming the game, a purist like myself, I don't like it, but that's because I come to this as, a combat shooter. I'm not a combat shooter, to make that clear. Not at all. I just enjoy it. But, people who are trying to, can I put my foot down? You know, to me, it's like, well, that's cheating. Well, not really. If it doesn't say in the stage description that you can, it's not cheating.
That's right.
That's
contravenes the intent of the stage.
But the intent of the stage isn't written down.
That's right.
Right? So you have to follow what the stage description says. And if it's not there, then go nuts.
That's why I wrote this description. And that's why I said you're lying flat on your back,
mm-hmm.
and your hands are where? On your solar plexus.
Interlaced.
With your fingers interlaced. Yeah. And then we took it a step further. We actually photographed the start position for every stage. And the CRO will look at the shooter and say, see the picture? Make yourself look like that, or I'm not starting you.
Yep, there you go. And that will solve a lot of the problems that we've encountered in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... So briefcase is attached to the table nearest the cell. So there are two tables in there. One would be like the sheriff's desk, let's say, at the opposite end of the office.
And the other one is the foolish table that they left there with your briefcase with your gun in it.
That's right. The briefcase is not locked, but completely closed. At start, cell door must be completely closed. When I arrived, they had the cell door on. This whole wall was backwards. It was 180 degrees in the cell.
Oh, so the cell door was opening towards the table?
The latch was inside the cell with you. And you pulled the door in.
This is a funny jail cell.
One guy was arguing. He said, no, it's right. And the guy is saying, Trevor designed this, and he looked at it this morning, and he told me it's wrong. No, it's right. The guy who designed it was here today and told me it was like, he blew in the face that it was still right. But yeah, because he'd been to jail lots, obviously. Yeah. The lock is always on the inside.
They always put it on the inside, yeah.
Anyway, you hate to be that guy who wasn't there when they built it and then come along later and tell them, oh, by the way, this is wrong.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. It's got to be done right, right? So, okay. Now, let's go around the room and let's pick on the new guy, David. You're lying in the bed. Walk us through what you would do when the buzzer goes.
First of all, you would need to get up.
I'd wait till the arrow poked me enough that I woke up.
Well, I'm sure you're awake in a jail cell. They're comfortable beds. Actually, I've never been there. You get up, open the door, go to the briefcase, retrieve your gun, as Trevor said, load it. Proceed to shoot the targets.
Now, are you gonna grab extra ammo right then, or are you gonna load your gun, rack the slide, and engage the two guys immediately?
Why didn't you wait and see what he was gonna do, and then we could have said, "You're out of bullets. Go back to the briefcase." Just wait for him.
Well, I'm asking a question.
Yeah, normally, before I started the stage as part of the walkthrough, I would make sure I know how many rounds I need for the stage and where I would need to use them. So,
all right, so it gives you 12 rounds. It's a minimum of 12 round stage.
So you
it's
know
a lot of construction for 12 rounds. Isn't it
is. when it says 12 rounds, you know you need two mags.
Minimum.
Yeah, it's got some steel there.
Some steel, usually a little harder to hit.
Three mags.
up to three.
Whether you want to take the time to.
Are you gonna load the gun and then put one in your belt, or are you gonna load the gun and put two in your belt?
With 12 rounds?
Mm-hmm.
It would seem overly arrogant to say that you would only need two, but with the flip-ups, you may need more.
Are these all full-size targets?
Yep.
Very good.
Personally, I would use two mags, not three.
Yeah, that's what I would do as well. I wouldn't... Continue on. So what are you going to do? Walk us through exactly. So you've got your gun, you've loaded it. What are you doing now? Are you putting one in your belt right away?
For sure.
And then you're going to engage the two guys inside.
Proceed.
T1 yes. to T3. Yes. Then you're going to open the door. You're going to engage the steel first or the paper?
I guess I didn't read the stage description clearly. If they're not disappearing targets.
They're flippers.
They're flippers. So you're going to hit
which means they just flip off.
Yep. That's right. You're going to hit the steel and it's going to pop up. But there's one target there that is sitting in the back seat there. You're going to shoot him first, or you're going to shoot the steel first and pop up your flippers? Just curious. Well, I don't know which way you would do it.
I would probably shoot the first PL1, flip up and shoot it, and then proceed with T4 and PL2 after that and shoot it as well.
And then? Those are paper targets, dude.
So whenever that flips up, there'll be two more targets sitting there.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to shoot
the PL1. It flips up. You shoot the target.
Oh, okay. You're going to wait for it.
You're going to go okay. Ping and then pop into the paper that flips up. Then do the same thing.
I assume the action would be fairly quick.
Oh, it's fairly quick. Yeah, it's fairly quick.
Time-wise, I'm not sure. If somebody shot it before me,
that's why we do a walkthrough.
Yeah.
You can ask the RO. Trigger those for me, please.
Okay.
So somebody will walk up and tap it as best they can to replicate it being hit by a girly 9mm bullet to be the slowest transition.
It's just a finger ping, basically. Yeah. Ping, yeah.
And then you'll get to actually see, ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka-ticka, by the time it comes up, you could be done the whole stage.
Correct.
Okay, so.
That being said, it would be determined by how quickly they flip.
Okay. All right. Cool. Matthew.
Up off the bed, open the gate, grab my gun, load it, engage the two targets, one and two, standing at the briefcase, dump my mag, grab another mag, run over, open the door, engage both flippers, while the flippers are activating, pop T4, and then go back to the first flipper, and then the second flipper.
Done. Like dinner. I wouldn't do anything different. How about you?
After that, yeah, it's exactly what I was going to do.
Well, it's going to be different for every individual shooter, right?
For sure.
Yeah, it'll be right for some and wrong for others.
Yeah.
That's the fastest way to shoot it.
Yes, it is.
That will win you the stage if you can do it the fastest and be the most accurate.
Right, because you're saving a standing mag change.
That's right. But if you miss the steal more than once, you're now out of bullets, and you have to run back and get another mag.
Yeah, you got two misses.
Whatever.
So I've got 10 rounds to engage 8 shots. So I've got 2 misses.
Move fast, shoot careful.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know that at 11 meters, I should have no problem hitting those steel ploppers.
Yeah. I have very little experience shooting steel, so right. I struggle with it.
Right. You know what? You put the bullet in the middle of it. The bullet doesn't know what it is. The gun doesn't know what it is. Only your brain knows what it is. Put the sight in the middle and roll the trigger correctly.
At 20 yards, with my Glock, I have to shoot 3/4 of the way down on a mini popper to get it to hit the belt.
Then you have some trigger control issues. You're dipping your muzzle.
Not trigger control issues.
You're dipping your muzzle.
Sights are off.
Yeah.
It's the sights.
Yeah.
So I know I have to do that. It's always an adjustment. So for me, I'm probably going to take the standing relay, even though it's not proper. That's what I'll do there.
Well, it's not improper. It's just way you're going to do it.
I'll shoot the two.
Which is wrong.
Run up, open the door. I'll then get those two steel taken care of, do my mag change, and take the paper targets.
How about this? Nobody said this. How about up off the bed, open the door, load the gun.
Yeah.
Pop a mag in your belt.
Yep.
Run to the door, clean the car, drop the mag, stand back, shoot T1, T2.
You could do that too.
Because if I don't have any misses,
then you know you have all the ammo you need, and if you do, you just take one more step back and grab a fresh mag. Now,
the purest, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then change 9, 10.
Yeah.
11, 12. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to do a change. You got to.
There's a change. Yeah.
You got to change your mag. Now, see, the purist in me cringes when you say that.
Because right, because you're walking past targets.
Those guards have just shot you.
But they're not guards. You've got
to shoot them.
But they're not guards. They're paper.
I know. It's paper.
But that's why it's turned into a game.
That's right.
Because if it was practice, you would never walk past a threat.
That's right. If it was practical, yeah.
Yeah, but it's paper.
It's paper. Threat. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
Well,
so
in which case, I'm just going to walk up point blank and...
You're going to stab them, aren't you?
Poke them in the eye.
Stab them and then shoot them. You got to get one of them knives in the bottom of your gun.
Called a bayonet.
Bayonet. I didn't say Beretta, but Beretta is not a knife. They should be knives because they can't shoot very well.
No, they do shoot really well. They do shoot really well.
My Beretta shotgun shoots well.
Oh, that's true. They do make other things in the M9.
I wouldn't own one because it's double action, single action. But
it's 463 parts.
Yep. But, I mean, you know, Jasmine's had excellent reliability on his.
Nothing to do with reliability. They don't fit me.
They're honking. They're bulky.
They're big guns. They're square, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big guy. I don't shoot big guns well. So let's move on to the next stage here before we get too drawn out.
You lead us off on this one. This stage number
13. So it's called Red Dawn, designed by Serge Noël. This is a long, so 32 rounds, 16 targets. It looks like there's no steel. So you're going to start heels on X's, hands relaxed at side, gun holstered, loaded and holstered. So just your standard start. And then the RO notes, you got to see the photo for start position. Okay, so stage procedure at this start, engage targets from within the designated area. So there are fault lines, you have to stay within them. There are three pressure plates. So when you press them, doors open and targets become revealed. So it's the first time I'm seeing this. This looks like a nice complicated stage. So
you have, these are your machine gun turrets.
Okay.
Or machine gun, they're like foxholes.
So Trevor's pointing at T1 through T1, T2, T13, 11, 12, and 13, yeah.
And then you have, these are the APCs that people have seen at SummerSlam.
Oh, those are the APCs. Okay, cool.
This is the tank. The boat.
Oh, the tank.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the tank is now where the boat was.
No, this is a different bay altogether.
Oh, just that ramp looks a lot like the dock.
New construction.
Yeah.
This is one of our new bays that was built in the back.
This is going to be expansion. Epic.
It's beyond epic. When you're like,
he's stroking out here, folks.
It's ridiculous. You come around the corner and there are two mock-ups, almost full size, armored personnel carriers, an almost one-to-one scale tank. And machine gun nests made out of military sandbags with camouflage netting and mortars, and one has a one's like a mortar pit, right? And the other one's a machine gun nest. Ammo cans, barbed wire. The props are above and beyond. I mean,
you realize I'm going to walk up to this and go, I ain't taking this on with just a handgun.
So here's what it looks like so far. You're standing with your heels on X's. The timer goes off. I'm going to engage 1, 2, and 3 targets just as I start moving. I'm probably going to engage T1 and T2 as I'm standing still, probably. I will just draw and shoot them. And then I will start running towards T3. As I get close, I will shoot it as I run by, jump on the pressure plate, and take out target 4 and target 5, grab a new mag, run up, engage the pressure plate, and while that guy is coming up, I'm going to shoot 11, 12, 13, swing around, get 7, and then take out 8, 9, 10. Okay, so where are my rounds here? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah.
And you missed one. You walked by T6.
Oh, I did miss T6. Yeah.
T1 to 6 mag change, pressure plate.
T1 to 6 mag change, you can't do it, that's 12 shots.
Yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8.
Oh, sorry, when you said T1 to T6, it sounded like you're going from 1 to 6.
No, T1 that's to T6.
T1 to T6. Oh, so you're going to shoot T1 and then T6 and do a mag change?
T1 to T6. T1, T2, T3, T6.
Yeah, but you missed 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I would let you finish.
Okay, so I'll jump in here. I'll backtrack to what Trevor did. So I'm not going to say T each time. I'm just going to go target. So 1, 2, 3,
no,
6.
No, say which ones because they're following along.
T1, T2. Can I just say T3? 1, 2, 6, 3? Because they all have a T in front of it,
then they're not going to know.
Coffee 1, coffee 2. So 1, 2, 3, 6, mag change, run up, engage the pressure plates. 4, 5, 7, mag change. 13, 12, 11, pressure plate. Oh, man, this is going to be brutal. Yeah, I hate you guys. Oh.
This one looks like a bad one for 90, too. Breaking 90.
It could be. You're going to have to make sure you stay back whenever you engage, because there's a lot of targets to the side.
Yeah. Depending on, they may angle those carriers a little bit.
Yeah.
As APCs and things like that. But, yeah.
This is one of those ones where you really have to keep track of your mag changes and your rounds, and they have set it up deliberately. I don't know if it's possible to do it. Now, it may be. I've had 13 seconds to look at this. It may be possible to do it without a standing mag change, but from the looks of it off the cuff, it doesn't look like it. It looks like those barrels are set up strategically. Now, again, this is something Trevor and I are going to talk about later on is... Looking at the stage description in the drawing, it very rarely matches what is actually done in real life. At least for me, what I imagine this to look like now from this picture, when I get there, it probably isn't going to look anything like what I think it does.
Well, it's the only thing, Matthew, is the details of the drawings. Otherwise, placement of barrels and pressure plates and targets, it's all there. And
sure, but you just don't have that same 3D...
But you don't need it to figure out your round counts right
for
now.
Your round counts. Well, you might, because I don't know if where I can stand along the designated area, where can I stand where I can see T7?
Here's the thing. You can see T7 probably from
the start.
It'll be difficult with these barrels. But once you get on the other side of that first pressure plate one that opens the door in APC one, you'll be able to see T7 once you get up to these barrels.
Yeah.
The thing about this stage is you're supposed to shoot and move.
Yeah.
You should not stop. You should be walking and shooting the entire way. So you're not doing standing mag changes.
Because you're always moving.
Unless you're, shooting faster than you're moving.
Right.
Or moving faster than you're shooting, rather.
Right.
Because if you've moved, if you don't pace yourself correctly, you're going to have moved onto a target faster than your mag change.
And then you've stopped and you're standing there. So this is one of those ones where really to sit here and jaw about it.
This is a walkthrough over and over.
Over and over and over. Yeah. So, yeah.
Because let's see. Okay. So have you crapped the bed?
I'm done, oh, man. I just called in an airstrike and moved on. Okay.
So I'm going to shoot T1, T2, T3, T6, mag change, step on actuator, T4, T5, 1, 2, 3, 4 rounds, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so.
That's 6. That's 4. That's 12 rounds.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I already got T6.
Yeah, you got T6 already.
So, I'm going to do, there's 6 rounds, 7, 8. Okay, so I'll do from here,
this from position. Where's here? People
from
don't know.
From the first pressure plate.
Okay.
I've shot T1, T2, T3, T6, mag change. Hit the pressure plate, shoot T4 and T5, T11, 12, 13, mag change. Hit the pressure plate, T7, T10, T9, T8, mag change. Up the ramp, finish the rest.
There you go. That's the only way to do it. Yeah. Cool. Let's move on to the next one. I'm sure some people who are driving don't have these and are probably getting bored. So let's
excuse to go home and listen to it again.
There you go. They're not gonna. Let's.
All right. Let's let Owen start this one then, because Owen has wanted this one. He's concerned about this one. Go ahead, Owen.
Stage 15, called the Fugitive. 24 rounds. 11.
Why is it called the Fugitive?
Because you have to shoot it with one arm.
Owen.
I have no idea.
Because you're in a bus. Like, it's actually painted up like a correction services bus.
Have you not seen the movie, The Fugitive?
No, I haven't seen
it. You need to get out more. You need to get out more, yeah, definitely.
So it's named after the movie, The Fugitive. Okay. So this is painted to look like a corrections bus.
Okay.
So it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
All right. So go through all that rigmarole there.
11 targets, 2 poppers. Start position sitting in the driver's seat, hands gripping the steering wheel at the 10 and 2 o'clock position.
Which is incorrect driving, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It's not about driving.
They don't teach that anymore. It's 9 and 3, so you don't blow your arms in half when the airbag goes off. Yep. Just saying.
Feet.
I know stuff. It's not relevant, but I'm going to share it because I know.
I'm editing you out.
Feet on the pedals, back against seat. Unloaded gun, slide forward and hammer down, is holstered. Stage procedure is at the start signal, engage targets from within a designated area. The ramp in the rear of the bus is activated by pushing from the inside of the bus.
So where the back door is on the bus, the emergency exit has been replaced with a ramp or a door that falls down, just falls flat onto the ramp. We were going to try and come up with some kind of fancy activating system, and we thought, just kick it.
Cool.
You know, knock it down. The inspiration for this came from the movie Triple Tap.
Yes, I remember seeing something very similar to this in that movie. In fact, yes. I was going to ask, is this where this is from?
If you haven't seen the movie Triple Tap, you will laugh your ipsic off.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a Chinese action movie centered around ipsic. And the opening stage is phenomenal. Iptic goes to Hollywood in China.
Yeah.
So, yes. All right, Owen, what do you do?
Well, first I'm worried about breaking 90 at the first two targets.
Okay. T1 is...
T1, T11, because they are
on 90.
Right, they are on right 90. On 90, yeah, through those first ports.
Now, in the picture they are, in reality, there may be some forgiveness there.
Yes, absolutely.
Dead air. Dead air.
Oh, dead air.
Come on.
Well, I mean, Trevor's seen all these before. I've barely looked at them.
This is the most I've ever looked at these. I just haven't had time.
So, well, it looks like, off the go, you got T1, T11, T12. It's a 2. Yeah. Yes. T1, T11, T2.
Oh, 6 rounds.
There's 6, and then
change.
Take a step up. Oh, no, don't, because you got to hit popper 2 and popper 1.
And then change.
Then change.
Or even popper 2 and target 10.
You might be at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you don't miss, you could do that. Mm-hmm. So you could, yeah, and then run up, kick the ramp down. You've got a mag change by then, so you got a fresh mag. So I don't know why I'm doing this. It's Owen's turn.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing it either.
He stopped.
But you're doing a good job, so keep going.
He stopped, so I kept going. So then it's 3 and 4.
And even help
and
himself.
5. 6.
About 3 and 4.
Didn't we get them already? I get them as soon as I kick the door down.
You lost track.
3, 4, 5, and 6. And then I do a mag change to allow me to get closer to 7 because he's hidden. Then 7, 8, and 9 is how I would do it.
I might switch over to 9 just if I'm worried about getting too close to 7 and 8 just for 90. But
yeah.
Again, it depends on how it's laid out
exactly
on the range.
But it would be something like that. And then my strategy there for doing the mag change where I did, like I said, is to get closer to a target, allow me to continue to move while I'm reloading to get to a danger target. Because those, you know, targets that are half covered by a no shoot, those are dangerous. You got to take your shots on them carefully.
T11 and T4 are danger shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're running down the ramp, shooting at that. Are you going to want to shoot? I would take these from the ramp.
Yeah, I would take, T3 and 4.
T3 and 4 from the ramp, yeah.
From the ramp. Down the ramp, 5 and 6, reload 7. Well, it might be 5 and 6 and 9, then reload 7 and 8. Mm. That way you're not, like Owen said, breaking 90 on 9. Clean him up with 5.
When you're behind them, or
in front of him still.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because if you walk around, you're shooting T8 and T9 as you're backing up.
Yeah, you're wasting time.
Yeah, you're going to have to get in there, though. They're strategically placed so that you're on top of them.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. Well, I hope this wasn't too boring for the people who didn't get to follow along. Us making fun of each other should hopefully have helped alleviate some of that boredom.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. That's just 3 of the... How many stages, Trev?
What, 16?
16 stages.
15 plus Chronograph?
I don't know, something like that.
It's a lot. Oh, and the Quebec guys are here, right? We got guys that came down from Montreal, the Club de Tille de Montréal. They're down, and they have, I want to say, 4 stages. They took the house, they took the boat, and a couple of other ones. They have these maxi targets. Have you seen these before?
No.
They're a different style of flip-up. That should be interesting.
So they designed those targets? Or
I
those
don't
stages?
Know if it's... Yeah. They're 4 of the stages in this match were designed and more or less built and will be run and managed by Quebec Shooters.
Oh, cool. So we're not going to be allowed to move frontwards or backwards or sideways?
That's why they're here, so they can. Now, for the listeners that don't know, their IPSC is shot everywhere in the world the same way except for Quebec.
Yeah.
Basically, the CFO in Quebec has put ridiculous restrictions on them. No steel whatsoever. And lateral movement only. So the chances of the province of Quebec ever hosting a Canadian national championships won't be awarded to them because of the restrictions that they're forced to work around or work under.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that maybe in a couple of years they'll apply to host the nationals and they'll use our range to do it.
Well, that'd be cool. They could do that.
I personally don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's realistic. I think it would be way too cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
They have to be down here for weeks at a time, feeding themselves and housing themselves. And, are we going to supply all the materials? Are they going to buy materials? And it's a logistical nightmare. So it was nice for Sal's to invite them in on this plan or in on this match to try and to kind of help out a little bit. But the goal was to have them, come back and do it, but I don't think they will. So
gotcha.
Anyway, that's just my opinion. So it should be good though, because they're creative. They have to be really creative to work under the constraints that they have to work under. Why is your gun dry as a bone? And I mean dry as a bone.
It's clean.
What, did you not think maybe lube it when you were done cleaning it?
It's glued. Run your finger across it.
It's dry as a bone.
Yeah. Wow. My fingers are greasy. Wow. I use the graphite spray.
That's awful. Look at that thing. It's clean. I'll give you that. It's clean.
Hold it up to the microphone so listeners can see it.
Can you see how clean that is?
While we move on with the listener feedback.
Well, until you put this dry gun in front of me, I couldn't help myself.
Is it your gun?
Nope.
Are you running the Nationals with it?
Clearly I'm not.
All right then. Move on to the listener feedback.
You really run it like that?
Yeah.
Really?
It never fails.
I wonder.
I use
full of wear marks.
I don't know. Maybe 40,000 rounds have kind of broken in a little bit. I
can't believe how dry that thing is. Okay, so will you take the first one? It comes to us from Spencer. Your gun is dry, man. Like, that's not normal.
Hey, really? Oh my goodness. Matt from Spencer. He goes, Matt, just listened to the last episode and wanted to let you know that the folks who sent you AR parts from the U.S. are probably okay under the ITAR rules. In general, oh, this is from the email last week that somebody asked me how people got their parts up to us.
Yeah.
I said, he says, in general, small arms parts under $100 U.S. are exempt from ITAR. There are specific items like magazines, barrels, scopes, and lowered receivers that don't qualify, but everything you got from the States was 100% legal in a very real and non... Hey.
What?
The microphone doesn't ignore you just because you're not looking at it.
I wish it did,
yeah.
But it doesn't.
Oh, man.
Focus on the email, not us.
It. I lost my spot. but everything you got from the States was 100% legal. I find it amusing, that might not be the right word, that we here in the U.S. can't send our Canadian brethren a scope without spending a few years in federal prison, but the U.N. still considers us to be quote-unquote death merchants who need the ATT to stop us from arming warlords in Upper Mongolia. On the other hand, we wouldn't want you guys to go all 1812 on us, taking over New York State and the rest of New England.
Or burning down the White House again.
Wait a minute. New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, actually have at it, he says.
You can have them states. We don't want them.
I'd just like to keep New Hampshire and Vermont, he says. They still have guns. From Spencer in Smyrna. Yep. Thanks, Spencer. That actually is good to know. That sounds very familiar. I'm pretty sure
yeah, we knew that.
Most of that anyway, but I didn't iterate it properly in the last episode, so.
No, you did not.
No, I did not. But anyway, thank you for that. So,
do you want to take Doug's?
I can see.
Sorry.
I can see.
Can you see now?
Actually, I can. This is why we don't podcast in the same room.
Yeah. Trevor's understand. Too distracting.
What? I'm distracting?
And childish. Thank you. You're half right. Are you going to read this thing?
Sure, I can. Now Dave's being distracted.
He was easily distracted. Wow. At least you tried to muscle through it. He just can't even start. Waiting.
First off, hi.
Who's it from?
It's Doug. You already said that.
Oh, okay.
You weren't listening.
I didn't hear that.
The end. It's on the next one. First off, hi, and thanks for all the talk shows. Great time listening and just finished watching the YouTube with Rod Giltaka, whatever.
Not Rod. Whatever. Giltaka,
okay. I thought it was Galactica at first, and I was like, no, that isn't right.
Battlestar!
That's a different show.
my second favorite BSG.
From Civil Advantage. First, I agree that there are way too many restrictions in Canada regarding firearms. But correct me if I am wrong. Back in the 90s, were there nutcases shooting? Back in the 90s, where that nutcase shot all the students, was that not a Mini 14 he used? And this weapon is not restricted, but the AR-15 is? Also, I agree with Rod that magazine size restrictions are, how can I say this politely? Stupid! Like, whatever! If someone is going to do something bad, first off, is not going to say, well, it's against the law to have more than 5 rounds in a magazine, so I'll just bring 20 mags with me. I guess the point is, I am trying to... I cannot read tonight. And I only had half a beer. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, why are all of us punished for one nutcase? Sorry, but I feel the same as you and Rod, that laws are needed, but let the firearms-educated people have a say in it. I've been shooting 35-plus years, and it's just getting harder to enjoy the sport. But I will keep trying. Best regards, Doug from Stittsville, Ontario.
Cool. Yeah, I agree, Doug. Gun laws, like I said on, with Rod, gun laws aren't there for the law-abiding, or are only there for the law-abiding, because only law-abiding follow them. So gun laws are dumb for the for the most part. Yeah, like Rod and I discussed, some of them make sense. You know, mandatory safety training. That's proven to decrease accidental shootings in Canada. There's statistics that show that. I know our brethren to the States don't like that because it infringes their Second Amendment, which I can 100% agree with. You should not be restricted from owning a gun because you can't afford to take a safety course or something like that. But at the same time, safety courses do save lives because it gives that education. I'd like to fix the problem by not having that problem in the first place, by making guns not a taboo subject to begin with, where kids are exposed to them early on in life and are taught by their parents the proper way to use them, and that way that safety training gets ingrained into everyday culture.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope because it's like there's so many other things in this world that interest me or don't interest me the same way firearm people that aren't interested in firearms
right.
aren't interested in them. So if you were to suggest curriculum in the school for something that interests you that I'll never have an interest in the under the guise of safety.
But how about this, though? Yeah. We do allow driver training
no, in school. It's very regional. It's not universal.
But we do allow it, right? Some places have driver training in school.
Driver's but everybody, driving is a means to an end. Firearms ownership is a choice.
See, this is where Trevor is showing his Canadian side, where you know, if we went back 100 years to the attitude that guns are part of your life, and as they should be, in my opinion, guns should be part of everybody's life. They are an invaluable tool that serve the safety of your family.
And that they serve that purpose. Certainly, that holds true in certain regions more so than others. Like in downtown Toronto or New York, you can go your entire life without ever having to interact with a firearm and not know the difference.
You're right, but does that if mean
they
so.
Shouldn't know how to interact with the firearm? Just because
no, it doesn't mean they shouldn't. They just choose not to and don't have to.
That's right, but what if they get mugged and they don't have a gun?
Then they chose to be a victim.
That's right.
You never know if you're going to be mugged, so you should do something ahead of time. But if you're not willing to, then that's your problem.
I understand that, and to that, to you know, a part of that I agree with. But like I said, we could solve this problem by just changing a paradigm shift. That guns, we go back to the, you know, 100 years ago, where guns are a part of everybody's life. You could not go to the new world without a gun.
Were we allowed to hit our kids back then? I say we go then.
We're still allowed to hit our kids, huh?
Yeah. Some people frown upon it.
It's in the law, man.
I know. Hey, Section 43 of the Criminal Code of Canada says I can take your child out of the classroom by the throat if I have to. Look it up. Just saying.
I know. You're trying to make, though, is what I'm trying to get to.
Your point about...
So you're saying that for like progress...
Universal curriculum to avoid...
No, I'm not saying universal curriculum. I'm saying let's not have that discussion about having this in school. I'm taking it a step back and putting the responsibility back on parents where it belongs. Mm. Have your parents educate the children, not just about guns, but about life, about everything, and guns are a part of that. You teach your children how to drive. You teach your children how to speak. You teach them how to read and write.
Next, you're going to want them to teach them manners, I suppose?
Yes, please.
What planet are you living on?
I'm living back 500 years where I should have lived.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Like, seriously.
No, I'm with you. Let the parents parent and, yeah, society can do the other things.
That's right. And guns are part of everybody's life. They should be.
They're not part of everybody's life.
They should
but
be.
But they're not.
But I'm talking in the ideal world.
Right, but it's not an ideal world. Right. So stick with reality.
Regardless, it's still...
It would be nice.
Very much a parent's responsibility to teach. You could just the same as you teach them not to look both ways when they cross the street for safety's sake. You tell them not to run with a knife for safety's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them not to play with a gun.
Play with guns
for safety's sake. That's right.
For safety's sake.
I mean, that's what I was taught, you were taught, and he was taught.
But there were
guns in our home.
That's right.
So
anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is... Gun laws have their place in society now only because we've dropped the ball as a society.
I can agree with that.
So,
before we got into such a nanny state, we took care of ourselves and we didn't need these laws.
That's right.
Any more than helmet laws or seatbelt laws.
That's right. But because we can't take care of ourselves anymore, you know, mandatory...
Some of us can, but we all have to suffer for the ones who can't.
That's right. So... You know, some laws are good only because of the situation that we're in now.
Yes,
my caveat to that. So
cool,
Trevor.
This next one, I feel like we're being written to by a celebrity in some respects.
Is this guy from Harry Potter? Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff? No, Hellfinger.
Heffel.
Heffel.
Heffelflinger.
Heffelflinger.
Heffelthumb. No, it's his brother, Heffelfinger.
Four more Fs.
There we go.
Is he okay with us making fun of him like this?
I sure hope so.
I hope so, too.
He's in another country.
Yeah, right. He's all the way down in, somewhere around Arizona, maybe, according to this email. Yeah. This one comes to us from comes to me, actually. I'm not letting you guys have any of this. This is he wrote to me. He didn't write Slamfire. He wrote to me. I'm special.
Yes, you are. I'm sure you won't get through this without a single mistake.
Either. I'm sure. Well, it goes without saying. So, Mr. Heffelfinger says, Trevor, attached is the manuscript I just finished that documents the benefits of hunting in North America. I thought you'd be interested. Darn straight I am. As a bonus, I threw in my, air quotes, Jack book from the junior Jack camp I run here in Arizona. You may have heard about it on the Gun Dudes last February. I did. We're already friends on Facebook. Check out my blog for non-serious stuff. Jim, a.k.a. Jim Heffelfinger. How many mistakes was that, Matthew?
16, was that I believe. One? I believe one. It was 16.
Just one.
Yeah.
So,
I do know exactly what you're talking about there, Jim, because I remember that
episode
of Gun Dudes too, and I was actually very, very impressed with your interview and with what you do down in Arizona, and I'm looking forward to reading through this material myself.
I was happy they finally got him on because, frankly, I thought Stan was having a moment with making this guy up.
Yeah.
Because with a name like Heffelfinger, you kind of wonder if it's a real person, but here we are.
Here he is. He's real.
I can't wait to read that stuff, Jim, once life slows down. And I do follow your Facebook stuff, and I'll be sure to check out your blog as well. And be sure to write us in anytime. All righty. That's it for listener feedback. Let's get into the best iTunes review of the week, which I failed to copy and paste in the show notes, so we'll put it off till next week.
Can we not just pull it up?
We could if you want to do more editing and more wasting time.
It's going to happen.
No, we can't just pull it up because by the time iTunes loads.
Oh, it takes forever on this?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that next week.
But it was guys, a good one, though. Yep. Yeah, there have been some really awesome iTunes reviews, and we will read them on the air when we get our stuff together and get organized.
Well, the funny ones we read on the air, or if you mention Trevor. Funny.
Yeah, or make fun of Owen. For being a LARPer. Has anybody checked out last...
We have a... Sorry, ends like this week. I'm just like hyped up.
He's happy that East Kingdom won or something.
Who cares?
They won the field battle.
It's not a real sport. We have a very important announcement.
This is the guy who won't put armor on.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not a real sport. It's for pansies.
I never...
That helmet's too heavy.
But I won't put armor on.
We have a very special announcement to make.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Slamfire Radio has joined a new podcasting network.
We certainly have.
We have signed up with the Crusader Podcast Network out of the United States, and there are all kinds of amazing shows on there. We're not prepared to say which ones they are right now because we're going to forget some of them for sure because I wasn't smart enough to bring the list up, but all the best kind of people are there, and be sure to go over and check out Crusader Podcast.
The first international pro-gun podcast.
Yeah, it's got three countries. Network. It's got us, them, and Quebec.
That is three countries.
So, yeah, be sure to check out Crusader Podcast Network. It was started by Joseph of the Hill.
Joseph of
the Hill. No, Chetwood. That was George Hill. That was a faux pas. You need to edit that or he's going to come shoot me.
Nope. Oh,
man.
After the abuse I took from you this week? No way, man. You're hanging.
I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks. It builds up.
Yeah.
And I have to like let it all out. Right? That's how you don't get cut. I just... Verbal cuts.
Verbal cuts. Death by 1,000 verbal cuts.
So, Joseph Chetwood from Crusader Weaponry started a podcast network called Crusader Podcast Network. And I've said that 16 times now, but...
Are we in a new network?
We're on a new network.
We're still on the old
network. We are still on the old network.
Yeah, we're still on Canadian Reload Radio Network. We're going to maintain a Canadian network presence.
Absolutely.
And now we're on another network.
That being said, go listen to the Canadian Reload Radio podcast.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of cool stuff over there. There's the other stuff too, but Trevor's scrolling down and
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, guys, because we're kind of hurting in that department right now. I don't think many
people we like have us. Less likes. I think I mentioned this
you
last
did,
week
in the
than the
library.
Local public library that my wife works at. Now, that being said, she has been waging quite the campaign for lots of likes on her library Facebook page, but come on, guys, seriously,
a library,
we can do better than a library,
Seriously. We should actually spend more time in the library. I know I should.
Yeah, we should all spend more time in the library.
Also, you know, don't forget to check out...
imagine the late fees.
Oh, the late fees from Trevor?
Just because he hadn't read the book.
That's why I just buy them and put them on the shelf.
Yeah. You
know. I did read the Glock book, so, you know.
I noticed you had quite an old edition there.
Be sure to check out Talking Lead, the Gun Dudes. And most important, please, if you're not already a member of one or both of our National Firearms Associations, please sign up for the National Firearms Association or the Canadian Shooting Sports Association.
I think and would be better there. They're not expensive. It's like $35 and then $45 for yearly memberships. I mean, come on. $80?
Yeah.
You can afford it.
We need the numbers. We can't, you know, they're the group that represents us. The guy at the back of the range with the big mouth and the old gun, he doesn't represent you. These are the folks that represent you. These are the folks that are taken seriously. And in order to be taken seriously, they need to have the numbers. They need to have membership numbers backing them so that they can push for you to help gain even more rights and freedoms for us. So sign up today. And when you've done that, take somebody shooting.
Yeah, the days of me taking you seriously are certainly coming to a middle.
You cracked that joke twice already on this show.
No, this is the second time now.
Twice already. As I said it was the second time.
I got to that episode, by the way.
Isn't it funny?
Oh, yeah,
it
was good.
That's a Firefly reference for those of you who don't know. And it's a good episode. Go check it out.
You know what? I'm watching Castle now. Is that sad or what?
It's because a guy's in it, right? Did you get to the one where he goes in with his Halloween costume and he's actually dressed up like a... Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Anybody who's not a nerd, we're very, very sorry. So, I'm Ron Burgundy.
And we're out.
Owen walked away in disgust.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. I'm going to lube my gun with Dr. Pepper.
This is how I run my... When I clean my gun, I just let the...
Lightly oil.
Yeah, very lightly oil.
Yeah, I see that.
It works.
Yeah. I'm not arguing it doesn't. It's just, wow. You know, I know the gun runs. I've never seen a malfunction on that gun.
You could have said that while we were recording. That would have sounded a lot better.
Exactly.
On behalf of Ruben.
It's good.
Editing at 110. 110 outtake.
Well, that was the end anyway.